IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
What's going on, my IPSE peeps? Thank you for joining us for the IPSE podcast, where we give you updates on what's going on with the program. I am Sergeant Major Paul Smith, IPSE Senior Enlisted Advisor. Today, I'm joined by Captain Taylor Vladek, our assignments product team lead, Master Sergeant Robert Simmons, the NCO for the IPSE finance team, and Sergeant First Class Persigno, one of our senior HR NCOs. Welcome, teammates.
Great to be here, Sergeant Major.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Sergeant Major. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for having me, Sergeant Major.
All right, so first, I want to give a big shout out to the United States Army for turning 250 years old about a week ago. I wouldn't say we looked a day over 20. I was actually blessed with the opportunity to help see the Army Birthday Festival come to fruition as the NCOIC of the event. And it was such an amazing thing to see all those out there supporting us. And if you're doing the math, we're actually older than the country itself. So pretty fun fact there. All right. So typically I go into my spiel about what we've been doing on the program since the last time we had a podcast. To save some time, I'll just hit the big ones. So big changes happened with the Leaders Dashboard, and we did some fine tuning with automated DD form 214. Now, honestly, those are two pretty big lifts to micro drop, so I'm not going to even do anything else on say anything else on that. So friendly reminder number one, it's PCS season, and whether you or one of your soldiers are PCSing, everyone should know about the My Army Post app, a great app the Army put together to give you a ton of pertinent information you might want to know about the place you are or where you might be going. If you are like my Aunt Edith and have trouble finding those tricky apps and you're on assignment, just pull out that fancy camera you have and snap the QR code on your orders. That'll lead you to the app. Trust me, I've seen more complicated things in my time in the Army. The app allows you to access specific information about their installation, puts real-time information into soldiers' hands, and keeps military communities connected. The app also includes real-time news, announcements, gate and facility information, hotlines, and all that good stuff. We also have a PCS season resources page on our website, which provides members and HR pros with tools to make PCSing as seamless and productive as possible. Just go to ipse.army.mil and navigate the drive to change. All right, so now to the fun stuff. Captain Vladek and Sergeant Briseño, I wanted to bring you in today to not only discuss PCS functions in IPSE, but to tackle some of the PCS-related IPSE questions we get from the field. We'll start with Captain Vladek. So could you give the listeners a general idea of how PCS events work in IPSE?
Sergeant Major, thank you for asking. The PCS process begins when the Human Resources Command places a soldier on assignment. Once this happens, the assignment appears on the soldier's Manage Assignment page in a draft status. At that point, the soldier will receive an email notification prompting them to complete their member elections within IPSE. It's critical that soldiers complete their member elections as soon as possible, since PCS orders cannot be approved until this step is completed. Once member elections are completed by the soldier, the military personnel division at the soldier's installation will complete the discretionary entitlements portion and approve the order. After the order is approved, the soldier can then submit their PCS absence.
All right, so for a lot of soldiers, this may be the first time they are PCSing since we launched IPSE. What is the most important thing these soldiers should know about using IPSE for PCSing this season?
For soldiers PCSing for the first time since IPSE was launched, there are some key points that they should know. First, it's important for soldiers to complete their member elections as soon as possible. Second, if soldiers are going on an OCONUS assignment with their dependents, they need to immediately start the family member travel screening process upon receiving their assignment notification. This process is completed outside of IPSE on the FMTS website. These steps are critical because they must be completed before soldiers can receive their orders. Additionally, soldiers should go to the My Orders tile on their self-service landing page. Once on this page, soldiers can view and print their orders as well as their special instructions. Finally, soldiers cannot submit a PCS absence request until their assignment is approved. Once approved, they can go to the pay tile on their self-service landing page and create their PCS absence request.
All right, so that's a lot of good information. So we're going to switch over to Sergeant Briseño now. So let's talk about submitting absence requests. Sergeant Briseño, what does this process entail?
That's a good question, Sergeant Major. So as Captain Vladek was mentioning, the service member would need to go to the pay tile. Once they get there, they're going to open up an absence and go under the absence entry type and add their new absence. This will take them to the landing page where they'll select option 5, which is the PCS event. That's going to be under absence type. The service never needs to ensure that all the information being added is correct in order to have a smooth PCS process, right? Key element to consider is the start and the end dates. The start date is obviously the date that the service member wishes to start the absence. But the end date needs to be the day prior to the report day on the orders, regardless if they're planning to report early. This is key. You may be planning to do that early arrival, but the PCS event needs to run all the way to the day prior to the report day on the orders. When the service member creates the PCS event, they can include, well, obviously PCS absence. And if authorized, they can also include their house hunting admin absence. What they should not be doing is selecting travel days. Let me say that again. Please do not select travel days. The field is there, but it will be automatically completed once the intrinsic grid opens up at the arrival process at the gaining unit. If you select travel days, it will generate an error upon arrival as there will be a dual entry for travel days and then it's not a smooth arrival. So again, don't select travel days, select PCS absence, and if authorized, house hunting. The second key element is the related assignment. When the service member selects the search icon in the related assignment, all the current assignments will show. To be more specific, the current permanent assignment will be an option. If they're on a temporary assignment, for example, or there's one that's going to take place before they PCS, that temp will also show. And of course, the new PCS assignment will be there. So the service member needs to check and be 100% sure that they're selecting the new PCS assignment as a related assignment for the PCS event. Again, choosing the wrong assignment will adversely affect the PCS event, potentially impacting entitlements and definitely impeding any early arrival plans that the service member may have.
All right, so I heard a couple of virtual footsteps. Hopefully y'all are paying attention to what Sarm Bersenio was saying. He was also kind of mentioning some financial stuff. So that allows me to get over to Matt Sarn Simmons for a quick question. So I know there was a recent change in processing time with finance. So just so we are putting soldiers in the field at calm, can you explain that change and what that means to everyone?
Yes, Sergeant Major. So we made an enhancement to the system that allows 4 days from the end date of the member's absence before we send a transaction to the pay system. This allows the HR Pro 4 days before we send that transaction so they can ensure that the service member is in process.
Great. I do like that flexibility and giving them time to potentially fix some errors that they might have happened. So, all right. I appreciate that. All right, Captain Vladek, so one thing soldiers in the field confuse is PCS versus PCA. Can you tell us how to differentiate these two things, especially regarding IPSA?
Definitely, Sergeant Major. So within IPSA, two common assignment types that soldier will see are PCS and PCA. A PCS is a permanent change of station, and this is a funded move from one permanent duty station to another, and includes entitlements such as shipment of household goods, POV shipment or storage, and travel allowances. A PCA, or a permanent change of assignment, on the other hand, is a non-funded reassignment that occurs when a soldier moves from one unit to another within the same permanent duty station, meaning no relocation benefits apply. IPSA uses these assignment types to ensure accurate processing of orders and the appropriate application of entitlements.
All right, thanks, ma'am. I feel like we should go into this whole PCA versus slotting tool thing, but I'm not going to get into that slippery slope there. So we often hear questions from the field about divergence. So what are the concerns and what can you clarify today?
So, Sergeant Major, diversions occur in a few different ways, but the most common involve either HRC diverting a soldier from one permanent duty station to another, or a gaining unit diverting a soldier from one UIC to another using the slotting tool. When a diversion takes place, a new assignment ID is created, which can lead to issues with the soldier's PCS absence and arrival process, as the original absence is still tied to the old assignment ID. This has been a frequent concern from the field. To address this, both the assignments team and the pay and benefits team have been working on enhancements to streamline this process. One recent improvement is that the related assignment field on a PCS absence can now be updated even when the absence is in a canceled status. This allows soldiers to quickly update and resubmit their absence, helping to prevent arrival delays at their new duty station. Additional enhancements have been implemented or are currently in development to allow diversions within managed assignments and the slotting tool without generating a new assignment ID, which will reduce the administrative burden for both HR professionals and soldiers.
Thanks, ma'am. So I'm going to flip this question over to Sergeant for Senior now. So how are instances of assignment changes during a PCS absence handled in IPSA? And what does that mean for the PCS absent, and how does that impact the service member?
Well, as Captain Bladick was just explaining, most of these changes are going to include a new assignment ID. So when that happens to the service member's PCS assignment, well, service member can still arrive. But the PCS event is now broken. The reason it breaks is that the PCS event is linked to the assignment through the assignment ID in a field called related assignment. If this link is broken, the absence will then be independent from the assignment, and it'll continue to run to completion, regardless if the service member reports early or not. However, as Captain Light just pointed out, there's good news. We have the benefits and pay enhancement and our own work that is being developed to alleviate this problem in the future.
All right. So this kind of this brings me to the next topic. Ma'am, something I'm really excited about is distribution positions. So what can you tell us about these D positions and what it brings to the PCS process?
So the distribution position, or the D position, is a new functionality that significantly enhances the Human Resources Command's ability to distribute personnel more effectively and efficiently at the appropriate distribution level. This feature provides increased flexibility and ownership to field units, allowing them to align incoming soldiers with the correct positions before they arrive. It empowers strength managers to proactively manage inbound personnel by placing them into the right UIC and position in advance, which helps ensure accurate strength management and accountability. One key advantage is that this proactive UIC position change retains the original assignment ID, which supports seamless processing in the in-transit grid upon the soldier's arrival. This reduces the risk of administrative delays or errors during reception, improves visibility, streamlines coordination between gating units and HR professionals, and also assists with the overall PCS process.
Thanks, ma'am. So back over to Sarn Bersenio. So what do members need to know about performing a TDY en route? How do they create one, and what supporting materials do you think they need to have?
Sergeant Major, this is a two-part answer. A service member going TDY en route will do what we have done in the past, which is to set up the TDY through DTS. This is to ensure that travel to and from the TDY location, per diem, lodging, and any other expenses receive the proper funding. So that much doesn't change. We still do DTS as we always have. Now, once these dates are locked in, the service member would visit the union HR professional and ask for assistance. The HR professional will then go to manage assignments, landing page, and select on the other actions drop-down menu, on the losing assignment, the TDY event option. Key thing, the losing assignment. And I'll explain why in a sec. So there they will add the TDY type and purpose and location. Now, it's important to keep in mind that the start and the end dates for the TDY should already be included within the whole of the dates. This is the TDY authorized travel time. Not their PCS, but their TDY authorized travel time. Okay, once the HR professional saves, that part is done. Now, we're using this through the manage assignments option because it will link the TDY directly to the loosening assignment, which often cases is where the funding is coming from, right? What this will do is it will help link the TDY, the absence, onto the gaining assignment. Otherwise, the unit will not be able to depart the service member until the start of the PCS event. The service member is going to go TDY for, let's say, a month or 2 months. That member is still going to be on that unit's books until that PCS event starts if the TDY is not properly created through the manage assignments page. At the conclusion of the TDY event, that PCS event kicks in automatically, and the service member can then just go report early or report on the report date as previously planned.
Okay, great. So, Sergeant Bersenio, so what resources are available to help users, and where can they find them?
Sergeant Major, our HR professionals and service members have several options they can access to better prepare for the PCS season, as well as other things they may need. They can go to the main IPSA site at ips-a.army.mil, where they can access a quick sheet called Submitting a PCS Event located under the training section. They can also go to the help section in IPSE and find the user productivity kits, UPKs for short, where they can see a step-by-step demonstration of how to do a number of different transactions, including how to create a PCS absence. There are also many quick sheets, job aids, and how-to files in the Army Career Tracker site under Communities, S1Net, the subcommunity IPSE, and then IPSE files. There they'll find a good number of job aids, like I said, guides and solutions to many of the questions that the field has sent our way. And lastly, the service members and the HR professionals should be acquainted with the user manual, also located in the help section in IPSE. This user manual is the source. This is where the knowledge is kept.
All right. Thank you both so much. A big part of PCS season is basic allowance for housing, or BAH. So let's get Master Sergeant Simmons back up to the mic to talk BAH recertification, since a lot of those changes occurred during the summer surge. Master Sergeant Simmons, can you explain why BAH recertification is important for both soldiers and the Army in general? Who's required to complete it, and how often it needs to be done?
Hey, great question, first of all, Sergeant Major. I got to get on my finance NCO soapbox. So first off, BAH certification is protecting your money and the Army's accountability. So for soldiers, we have to understand that BAH is a big chunk of our paycheck. So if something is off and you're getting overpaid, then more than likely, I'm going to say way more than likely, we're going to pull that back, and that's going to hurt your pockets. And then if you're underpaid, then you're missing money that you're entitled to. So recertification just helps ensure that everything matches up with your current situation. Now, for the Army, it's about physical responsibility. Every housing dollar has to be justified. So the DOD level and Congress are watching to ensure that we're correctly spending taxpayers' dollars. So recertification ensures that we're not bleeding the funds due to our inaccurate information. And then as far as who needs to certify, every soldier should recertify at least once a year. Also, if anything major happens, like marriage, divorce, birth, custody, dependents moving out of state, you have to recertify within 30 days. So my advice is just stay ahead of the game and ensure that you are tracking your paperwork and protecting your paychecks, Sergeant Major.
Okay. Yeah, that seems simple enough. So, yeah, fiscal responsibility is the responsibility of everyone to make sure that the information is accurate. So what did the BAH recertification process look like before IPSE? What challenges did units face, and how has the new functionality improved or streamlined that process?
Sergeant Major, I would say prior to IPSE, the BAH process was just a manual cluster, to be honest with you, Sergeant Major. So initially, the service member would create the DA-5960. Then he had to find his documents, attach the documents. Then they would send it to the S1, and maybe the paperwork gets lost. Maybe it doesn't, but it does need to be signed by the commander. But who knows if the commander is busy. Now we have centralized this process, and it's digital, right? So it takes a couple of minutes and a few clicks of a button. So the HR pro can review any submission in real time, and then the audit trail is built into the system. So in addition to the approval of the DA 5960 and IPSE, that transaction is sent directly to IPERM. So you'll have your IPERM's document on approval. So this has reduced tons and tons of duplications and accuracies, and it speeds up validation, ensures compliance, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, and I know we're not really touching upon this, but I do know also, I want to make sure everybody's listening. So recertification and changes different. So BAH recertification doesn't necessarily do anything right now for the finance piece. So there's still some work. What tips or best practices would you recommend for both soldiers and HR professionals to ensure a smooth process?
Hey, great question, Sergeant Major. So for the soldiers, I would definitely say keep your documents updated, your leases, your birth certificate, your marriage certificates, and anything, and ensure that you keep it on a readable PDF so you can attach it to IPSE when it comes time to recertify. Ensure that you monitor your IPSE self-service dashboard for notifications, because when it's time to do a recertification, you will be notified by the system. And then if there's any errors or inaccuracies in your transaction that you create, just respond fast as possible, because the faster you do that, the faster the HR pro can do their job. And then for the HR pros, I would just say they need to stay proactive And if anything comes in the queue, they need to take care of it as soon as possible. I would say what they need to communicate early and often as possible to ensure that that certification window doesn't get outside of the 1 year. And then share information with your battle buddy. It is so important to share information with them and your team and then keep your peers in the loop, Sergeant Major.
Thanks. And I know the leader's dashboard eventually will have that kind of information. So it'll be another tool for commanders to know how often the certifications, recertifications are going. So that'll be helpful for them. I know building a system like IPSAE can come with challenges, and you kind of mentioned it in the last answer, but are there any known system errors or glitches that users should be aware of, and what's the best way to resolve them?
Yeah, good question, Sergeant Major. So like any other system, IPSAE is having its growing pains, and we got a few known issues. So a member receiving overseas housing allowance cannot do a recertification at IPSAE right now. It is still a manual process to recertify that housing payment. The other piece is that if you're receiving dual BAH, you can only create one BAH inside of IPSAE, so that piece will be outside of the system as well. And then what we are working on, Sergeant Major, working on it to make it better. And then the last piece I want to share is HR pros cannot initiate a recertification for the members on the member's behalf. The member must initiate the transaction, and then it's carried forward from there, Sergeant Major. Over.
Thanks. So these are some changes, and people aren't necessarily familiar, and they're also pretty hesitant changes. How are soldiers being educated about this new functionality? Are there guides, job aids, or training resources available for them?
Yeah, absolutely, Sergeant Major. The Army's done a solid job rolling up education through simple platforms. So we have job aids. We have quick reference guides. You can find them in the IPSAE Training Library. There are also videos that'll walk you through the steps. If you go to the IPSAE Help page, you can also look at IPSAE YouTube channel. There's tons of information. As mentioned before by Sergeant Briceño, you can look at the UPKs, and the UPKs can walk you right through the transaction. And I think the biggest thing is leader on leader training. So soldiers are out there sharing information. I just ask them to continue to do that, Sergeant Major. Over.
Yeah, so I like to beat that drum on that last comment a lot. You know, we can provide training resources and job aids all we want, but the responsibility should never leave leaders leading. And it's our job to make sure that soldiers are informed. And we didn't do that, long back, and I'm not going to pontificate on how old I am or anything, but, you know, we need to take care of soldiers so they know what's out there and make sure that they're informed. So you already kind of talked about the resources, but where can soldiers or HR pros go if they need help or technical support during the recertification process?
Yeah, absolutely, Sergeant Major. So I would say the most critical thing to do when you have a technical error is to create a customer relationship management ticket or CRM ticket through your S1 channel. Also include screenshots and detailed descriptions of the issue. 9 times out of 10, if it's a technical issue, my team is going to look at it. So the more details that you have, the better we'll be able to take care of you. And then the last thing is don't forget to use the help desk as a resource. And just like us, we need as much detail as possible so we can get the problem to the right person to solution it, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, so another virtual foot stop. Details, details, details. And that doesn't just go for these pay inquiries, right? It's anything. Anytime you're putting in a trouble ticket, provide as much information as possible. Don't leave anything to be kicked back. Try to be as informative as possible. Thanks so much for all that great information, Master Sergeant Simmons. Before we wrap things up, I would like to give the team an opportunity to give any parting words. So since we ended with Master Sergeant Simmons, I'll let him kick things off. Then we can hand things over to Captain Vladek, and then Sergeant Briceño, you can end things. So what do you have for us, Master Sergeant Simmons?
Hey, once again, thank you for having me, Sergeant Major. And the thing that I want to leave out to the field is, although BAH is an individual responsibility, the information of it is best shared as a team. So I truly, truly appreciate people who are sharing the information. Keep doing that. And then don't hold that information to yourself, because everybody needs it. Thank you.
Sergeant Major, thank you so much for having us on today. I just would like to reiterate that there are a lot of great tools and resources available to assist both soldiers and HR professionals throughout this PCS process. And we encourage everyone to leverage those products to help ensure a smooth transition. Our team remains committed to improving the system and continuing to build enhancements that make IPSA more efficient, user-friendly, and supportive of all users across the force.
For my part, Sergeant Major, I would echo what Captain Ladig just said. Invite service members and HR professionals to access all the different tools at their disposal to find out about the many things that IPSA can do for them. And for those that are going through the PCS process, share their experiences, their knowledge to all the other people that will be PCSing, you know, either in the winter block or next year. So share the knowledge. That's what I got, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, so I'm kind of say a little bit of the same thing, and I've said it in a couple of different forums. You know, you can step on somebody's head to get to the top, or you can put them on your back and bring them with you. Everybody should be sharing information. We should be in the sharing business. We should help each other out and help get everybody to the same level. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, remember to engage your arsenal and keep driving the change we need in our Army.
Soldier, right job, right on time.
24/7, 365.